Welcome to Showtime, Appointed Times in God's Eternal Kingdom. Today with us is Pastor John, Dale Anderson, Pastor Henry, Steve Allen, and me, Abe Enix. So, Pastor Henry, will you start us off, please?
Well, good day. How's everybody doing? I just want to say this morning that, this afternoon, I guess it should be, God is good. And all the things that Amen. He has for us today are absolutely good for us. God is doing some great things in the earth. And so I think that when I woke up this morning, when I was reading the Word of God, I was looking at this scripture here, and it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that means concerning me.
That's right.
And I just want to give him thanks for all that he's doing, all that he's done. There is I've got a spring in my step for whatever reason, and I really just believe it's because that the Lord is doing a work. And as I look around the church, and some folks that don't come to my church and don't come to this church, I've been talking to them. Last Sunday I was sitting in a restaurant, and some folks from another church came in, and we were talking, and the sister just began to preach the message she gave that day, and she was talking about a snake that she had killed, and how that Jesus has absolutely taken away the effect of sin, and how sin was defeated. Jesus, you know, the Bible says that the enemy, the snake, would bruise his heel, but he would crush his head. I love it that there is nothing that goes on around us today that can even hurt us, because the God of the universe is watching over us, taking care
That's
of
exactly
us.
Right.
He has committed himself to us, if you will. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You know, the Word of God says this. It says, I think it's Psalm 68:28. The Word of God says that God has commanded our strength
and our dominion, brother.
That's right. But if he's commanded our strength, you know, just as he's commanded the stars to, you know, in the beginning, he said, let there be light. Just as, you know, and he created all those things by his word. The word of God says in Psalm 68:28 says that the Lord has commanded our strength.
Amen.
So if that command is upon us, upon our strength, can I just say this to you? That's a good thing.
Yes.
Allow strength to rise up in you. The only place you're going to get strength is not at the gym. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know every one of you go to the gym every day, man. But that's
Come on,
look at all these.
It's hard to hide.
It is a little hard to hide. But yeah, but you know, it's not the gym. You know, although going to the gym will give your physical body strength, but the Word of God says
it's of little benefit.
Yeah, it's of little
very
benefit.
Little benefit.
Yeah, that bodily exercise profits little.
Yeah.
But it does righteousness. I like this because I'm
going to
be talking a little bit of righteousness. But righteousness is profitable in all things. Mm-hmm. So if a righteous man, no matter what you do, righteousness will cause you to profit in it.
Yeah.
And the only place that you're going to find real strength is in the presence of God. The Bible says, in thy presence, O God, is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. So God's strength comes through joy. It's something that is not directed or doesn't come to you by your surroundings, by what you see with your eyes, but it's within you. The joy comes up within you, and it strengthens you for whatever it is you're doing. So I praise God for that. God is good.
Amen.
And
all the time.
All the time. He really is.
And, that's yeah. Pastor John's line.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. I thought of that one, right?
Coin that phrase.
And all the time,
God. I just want to comment on that because I'm that same scripture, pray without ceasing.
Yes.
That's the same scripture that I got this morning. And you know what I was looking at is that, and we've spoken about this before, but that it seems like such a hard thing to do, you know, with life, you know, that it's such a hard thing to do.
Yes.
And I just was looking at that thing, and I've been looking at this for a while, that, you know, we all love those walking in the cool of the morning in the garden with God, that quiet time, and yet the pray without ceasing, it's a 24/7 thing. And, you know, it's your work day. It's your hanging out with your wife and your kids. It's the people that are around you. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be that you are specifically, you know, saying words or even praying in the Spirit, which is great.
Yeah.
But just the fact that you're there and you know He's there.
Yeah.
His presence is with us, whether you're praying in the Spirit or praying in English.
That's right.
But just that you're sitting there and you know that He's in your midst. Whether you're driving in the car, whether you're, you know, you're one of them guys that's got the big jackhammer and the noise around you is going crazy, but you can still hear that voice, you know, wherever that's
right.
at. So for all of you that have thought about that, there is such a thing as pray without ceasing.
You know, so. And it depends on what you fill yourself with. That's what's going to come out when the pressure comes.
Yeah.
I just recently had a testimony I got to share a little bit in church, in that I had been praying before I went to the DMV. And when we walked in there, and the lady was just very curt, very angry. You know, I could sense fear with her there. And I reached across, I just touched her hand. I said, "Are you okay? What's the matter?" She goes, "My world's a mess." I go, "Let me pray for you." It just came out like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just quoted Jesus. I spoke to the swarms swirling around her. And I commanded them, "Peace, be still," in Jesus' name. It wasn't a big, long, drawn-out affair.
Right.
It was quick. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have thought better myself.
Yeah.
And I truly do believe that was gifted to me by the Holy Spirit, because He lives here.
Amen.
And He's
Amen.
Welcome in this vessel.
Amen.
These
Amen.
Vessels.
That's right. Amen.
And
Amen.
His righteousness is what propels us to love those that are unlovable. You know, the worst sinner that you could possibly imagine, Jesus died for them.
Amen. That's right.
And we're called to love them regardless.
Come on, brother. That's right.
Well, it's the truth. And I am not by any means the quintessential love poster boy, so to speak. I do have my moments, but I do know that I also have grace for when I really blow it. And it's a good thing, because I would walk around in guilt if I didn't. If I didn't know, I could take it to Dad and say, "Father, I blew it." And He will help me make it right. He'll give me direction. And it's simply because if I lack wisdom, the Word says, if you lack wisdom, ask. And He'll give that to you unabraded, without any kind of repercussions or downsizing, nothing. And that wisdom is ours, brother.
Amen. Amen.
It's ours.
Yeah, I like what you said when you spoke that, when you said that. Command everything in Jesus' name. Peace be still. And I was talking just the other day about one of the words of my calling, that one, what God, when he gave me a vision, He spoke to my heart, and He said this: preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reproving and rebuke and exhorting, if you look up those words in the Greek and look at those things, there's differences in them. We take them, there's a little, sometimes the reproof seems like harshness and everything, but all of it is, all of it is, the cause it's there is to bring into alignment. It really is. So, as I was talking to a brother named Tommy Garcia the other day, and he was in the office, and we were discussing this thing about reproving and the word that was given to us, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And as I was talking to Tommy, we were discussing it and admonishing that basically all those reprove, rebuke, and exhort are words to admonish, some to build up, some to correct, but all of them are actually words to correct. And so Tommy brought up the time when Jesus was in the back of the boat, and he was, what was he doing? Snoozing.
Sleeping, yeah.
He was taking a nap. And there's this huge storm going on, and all these these men that were sailors, yeah, that knew what they should do on water like that, wake him up and say, God, Jesus, don't you care? We're perishing here, man. And you're asleep, dude. And Jesus gets up, and the Bible says he gets up and he rebuked the waves and the wind, and it settled out. And we're talking about that. And what is really a beautiful thing, if you think about what Jesus, I really, because rebuking, exhorting is correcting for it to be correct. Not Jesus didn't get up and say, knock it off or stop. Yeah. He said, it was more in the form, you weren't created for this. So he admonished it to be the way it was to be
supposed to be.
The way it was supposed to be. The way it was intended to be. Not to tear up men and fear, so that they're so in much fear that they don't know what to do. But for that, the winds and the waves to work with the men. Because the earth has been commanded to be under men, to be to submit to men. And so that was the idea of the admonishing. And I loved it when you take a look at, when you go to pray for somebody, admonish, say, hey, cancer, I'm admonishing you. You are not designed for this.
That's right.
Get out. You can't stay. I'm admonishing the body. You are not designed for this. You're designed for health. It is correcting into correctness. That's what I like about the thought, correcting into correctness. And so if we begin to do it, think a little bit more about that rather than, you know, we've had a heyday with, I bind you.
Yeah.
I rebuke
you.
Right. You know, we've had a heyday with it. And right. What if it's, we are to correct it into correctness.
Right.
Tell it to be correct.
Right.
Isn't that crazy? It's a good, are you getting the thought?
Yes. Yeah.
I know.
Yes. It's telling things to get into their rightful place.
Absolutely.
This is where you belong. You don't belong here. Mm-hmm. And even like when they talk about like cancer, they say that it's rebellious cells that are working within the body. So if you can come against rebellion, if you can set them to where they know their place and it's not in the body, then that cancer has got to be gone. So, yeah, we've got to find ways to pray that we could learn from Jesus. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I love when you look at it when you say correct it into what it's designed to be. Mm-hmm. Bring it back into the design. Because the whole earth, if you remember, suffered. You know, the creation went, when Adam sinned, the whole creation went into it suffered because of Adam's sin. So, you know, and then if you look at it, you'll see that Adam sinned, and then God turned him from a gardener. He told him, you're just a gardener. You just trim the trees, you know, and get the leaves out, whatever. Turned him from a gardener that now, he said, from the sweat of your brow, now you're going to work the ground. You're going to have to dig a little bit. You're going to have to work this thing to get out of it. And then Cain slays his brother Abel, and then God does something even more. He tells him, he says, now the earth will not bring forth its increase like it should. It's what he tells. It's what he tells Cain, because his brother's blood was spilled upon the earth. The earth was forced to swallow the brother's blood, and so this earth has been suffering, and it needs men and women of God, sons of God, to correct it into correctness. And that's what I love. Oh, man, I can see it so clearly.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Very true. So very true. You know, the whole of creation shudders in joyful anticipation for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Right.
You know, we're there. Are you a son? I'm a growing. I am not perfect, but I am growing.
But he that is perfect dwells in you.
That's right.
It's not about you.
That's right.
Come on.
It's just the vessel.
Yeah, it all brings a certain order, right? Everything's kind of out of order compared to what that was originally created and designed for. And when the whole sin hit the scene, it just flipped everything kind of upside down.
Absolutely.
And now, you know, Jesus, for what he has done, he paid that price. And now we are back in order, right?
I mean,
so there's order in our lives now. There's, you know, God, he's working in us. And, man, I'm looking for restoration of a lot of things here, you know, the desolate cities be inhabited again, these things, you know, that God has promised in, to his people.
So if it happened with Jesus, why are we not seeing this order?
Exactly.
Is it that we, our faith isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, we should be at that place that we understand what happened at the cross and all that we have a right to on this earth. God, Jesus brought it back to us.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, the church is losing that sight, the sight of who we really are.
Absolutely.
And that whatever Jesus had, we have. And we don't seem to exercise that.
Amen.
Well, I think it comes back to just that, you know, what you're saying, you know, reprove, rebuke, correct, teach, train. We're doing all that, right? I think it's just a matter of what needs to happen is just, you know, we need to get to that maturity that so many times the Bible's, you know, calling us to. Because, I mean, it's not only faith, but are we really pursuing what God has planned for us? You know, each and every one of us. Are we truly becoming the body of Christ that we're called to be? And, you know, I think once that happens, we'll see so much more happen. You know, when we're all playing our roles.
Amen. I really do agree with that. I do believe that God has placed so many things within each and every believer that innumerable things in each and every one of us. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to the vet, to the person.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, you know, he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of those that love God. I mean, how's it said? Eyes not
no, I have seen, no.
Ear
no,
has not heard.
Has heard.
Nor has entered into the heart of man those things that are prepared for them by God.
Yeah.
But
he reveals
they don't reveal them
by his spirit. And it's an individual thing, and it is something that every believer needs to go after those things, those hidden things, the things that are dwelling within them that God will bring up. He will speak things to you that are absolutely nobody else around you is speaking in. And you say, I'm no God, I can't say that stuff, but it's something that he's placed within you. You see, we have a tendency to and if, I mean, excuse me if I don't want to offend anybody, but we have a tendency to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and let's just use those four. And then we'll go back and we'll read them again, and then we'll do Bible studies on them. We've Bible studied them so much, everybody knows exactly what they say, but nothing new is coming out of them. Nothing new is coming out of the vessels. And God is saying that I have placed things within you. You have to go. See, we're happy. We're good with... I mean, we want to know what the new cars look like, or the new cell phone. We're good with technology, with man that advances every year, and you know. But with God, no, we want to stay in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is that crazy? And we don't expect anything new from God. But God's got so much, and he's placed it in the individual lives of all of the believers that what's in you will enhance what's in Pastor John, what's in Brother Steve here will enhance in Dale, all those things working together as the body.
Yeah.
And we're not moving into what God has for us.
If I may be so rude as to interrupt that.
Sure.
First and foremost, what that is very true. However, it develops by an intimacy with Jesus Christ.
Right.
You just can't say, oh, I wish to have that. No, we're called to wish. Your wish, you are called to possess. You are called to dominion through his spirit. And by love, he guides us, he leads us, and he directs us into those things that we are called to do. All the promises of God are yea and amen. Well, if that's so, then certainly we can stand on the promises of ministering to a broken, dying world.
Yes. And that's what these things will do, actually. And just like you said, you know, hey, you said, God, the Holy Spirit will not reveal these things to you until you're going after Him for these mysteries that He's placed within you. I mean, it really is up to the person to go after all the things that God has for him. I mean, some will say, "Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a teacher. I'm not." Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? You died on the cross.
That's right.
And it's not you anymore. It's Him dwelling in you. There are things that are in there that He wants to open up, and it's up to us individually to spend time with the Holy Spirit, spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word, and allow God to bring these things. Man, allow Him to manifest those things.
Exactly right. Yeah.
But can we possibly break tradition?
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, can we possibly get ourselves out of our comfort zone? You know, we like to do church the same as we did last Sunday, you know? And that's what I think is one of the problems now. We see something different, and everybody says, no, that's too radical. That's not church.
That's not the way you do it.
That's not the way you do it. That's not the music we play. That's, right. That's not the way we preach. That's not the way. And God is saying, who determines the way?
That's right.
I am the way.
That's right, man.
And so,
come on.
Whoever's out there, just listen. God is doing a new thing. And that sounds like just a cliche. You know, you always seem to hear that. God's doing a new thing. Well, He's been doing a new thing since back in the old days or whatever.
That's right.
But the day that we stop believing that is the day He's going to stop showing us new things.
That's right.
Yeah. So be prepared.
I have suffered that kind of persecution. And it wasn't from people outside the church. It was my brothers and sisters in the very pews that we were sitting in, and they just came against something that they didn't know, they didn't understand. You know, my calling's going to be a little bit different than yours, but He's going to make provision for both of us to be able to excel at that. Yeah. You just have to trust Him and come to the realization of who He is and what He really needs us to be.
It,
some days it's an evangelist, some days it's a healer, some day it's a prophet. When He will place that in you to come out of you because you've put it in you. You've taken the time to plant the seed of the Word of God to flourish in you. And it isn't for your entertainment, brother. It's not. But it's for purpose.
Although it is fun.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Or you see somebody get healed, you go, oh, my God, God, you're good.
Oh, yeah. That's the cause for celebration. Amen.
Yeah. But I think it's a big part of it, too, is like you were saying earlier, Dale, having that personal relationship. And it's a big thing in churches now, you know, where you look to one person to give you your spiritual guidance and everything. And it's like, you know what? We live in a day and an age where we don't need a Moses to come down the mountain and tell us what, you know, is going on. What we need to do is we just need to open our Bible, spend some time with God, pray to God, and you know, just find out what it is that personally us alone are supposed to do, because nobody else is going to be able to tell us that. And it's only going to come through the revelation of our study, our relationship, that we're going to get that.
Amen.
That's 100% right.
That's exactly right.
You can't do it without Him. And really, you really wouldn't want to anyway.
No.
You've got to have that intimacy, and it's available. It's yours. All you got to do is take it and just live in it. It's not works. You don't have to do it by works.
Yeah. And I think a big thing, too, is that we need to realize how much time we're actually spending with God. Because a lot of times you will see that people will, as we were talking about earlier, they'll work out more than they'll spend time with God. And it's always this thing of, you know, is God really a priority? But, you know, so many people don't realize it's more important to be that righteous person, to have that knowledge of God, because that's going to be so much more useful than, you know, having muscles and fitness. Even though those can be useful, you know, sometimes, it's not as useful as, you know, knowing God and His Word and His plan for your life.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't see themselves as being used by God.
No.
You know, you're going to be one of the guys sitting at the pew and just taking it all in, and that's good enough, rather than to think that, you know, you're not any better or any worse than that other person. Never compare yourself
exactly, right?
to another brother or sister, but compare yourself to God.
Yeah.
And whenever you do that, you know that you've got so much to live up to.
Man. Amen.
And so if we can do it in that way, and yet, you know, whatever it is that He's led us, that little tiny baby step can be enough to show you that He's got so much more for you. And that if He led you to that, I've seen ladies in our church that never spoke, and I see them now just wanting to speak,
Absolutely.
Wanting to do things. I am so blessed by seeing the growth of some of, you know, men too, but specifically been some ladies that before they just sit there all quiet. Now it's like, I want to talk, you know, and it's, I bless that. I bless those
Praise
that step
God.
Out,
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of weird that mindset? I mean, it's not something really you think about, but just that you would always be learning, but never using. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, imagine if you go to work, and all you do is this is how you do the job, and you keep getting trained.
I never did.
And you just never did the job.
Yeah.
Or else, like, you know, if you're, you know, playing sports, and instead of actually playing any games, all you do is just keep practicing, keep reading about it. You're like, okay. And then, but you never actually play, you know, or, you know, although college sometimes doesn't work out, but no, imagine you taking all these classes and then you never use the degree. You just keep learning and learning and learning. Yeah. I mean, and not use it. That's what can happen if you're just, you know, going to church, but you're not actually using any of that knowledge and wisdom you get.
But it goes back to what we spoke a little bit ago, is that time spent with Him, that you know that He anoints you for His service. Mm-hmm. There's an anointing that comes upon you for whatever it is that He's calling you, and you're going to know it.
Yeah.
You're going to know if you got to read something, or you're going to know if it's your turn to go lay a hand on somebody, to pray with them, whatever it is. There's something that God's just going to stir in your heart. And if you don't do it, guess what? He'll look for somebody else
He'll
if he wants it done.
To do it. Yeah. It's the truth.
Yeah, it's something, you know, because, you know, I like the scriptures. It likens us to, it says that we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And every member in particular is what the word says. That, in other words, there are particular parts of this body, and every member is important.
Mm-hmm.
So every member in the body has something to benefit the body. And for folks, you know, and it's really not a time anymore to just sit and just take it all in and not find out what God has for you in this in the body of Christ. And so every person has a particular anointing, like Pastor John said. There is an anointing for them to do what they will do, but they've got to move into it. They've got to find. They've got to allow God to speak to their heart, saying, "This is where I'm taking you," and allow that to happen. It's a beautiful thing when the body of Christ begins to really start walking and talking and being the way they're supposed to be, man.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of makes me think of Nehemiah. He wanted to go back. He wanted to build the wall again. And, you know, it wasn't just like, he didn't get like just a bunch of construction workers, but it was all these people that, you know, belong to this group.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, even though I'm not somebody who's like normally building a wall, I'm going to go build a wall. And it's just this long list of all these different people that did different things that, you know what, this is what we're supposed to do. And, you know, even though I may not be in that profession, it's something that I'm still called to do. And, you know, they all work together. And they were all, you know, passionate about it. So,
you know, as you progress with the Lord, He'll arrange for you to be used and to be utilized. He'll present you with opportunity to use your gift.
Yeah.
All you have to do is be able to recognize that opportunity when it comes across your path. I had a young lady come to me several years ago. She was a waitress in a restaurant, and she went ahead and took our order. She came back and said, "Oh, I have a terrible case of swimmer's ear, and it's a lot of pain in my..." Well, you know, most people don't do that with strangers. Mm. That was a divine intervention on her behalf and an invitation to me to offer to pray for her and to assure that the Lord wants you healthy, whole, and well. And so I had that opportunity. It's like plucking the fruit of the tree. When it happens like that, it's just so rich. I plant a lot of seeds as far as telling people about the Lord, but it's special to me to actually pluck the fruit of salvation. And it isn't, you know, it's the Lord that gives the increase, but he's used me to do the harvest. What an incredibly honorable thing that is, that he would trust me to do that.
Yeah.
With all the faults that I have, he'll still present opportunity for me to minister his love and his goodwill to men, all men.
Yeah.
You know, I have a little verse here in Isaiah 54, verse 2. It kind of goes along with some of what we're talking about. This is, "Enlarge the place of thy tent." So it's getting bigger, right? You're going to make this, your tent, bigger. "Enlarge the place of thy tent," you know, right? And then it says, "And let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not." So in other words, don't, not just a little, just spare not. If we're going to make this thing, if we're going to do this thing, let's go big.
Go big.
Go big.
That's what I like it.
The big gulp.
Big gulp.
Exactly. Yeah, I like it. "Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left." Amen. "And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities thy to be inhabited." Amen. Let's go big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good word right there,
that
going big. Because I think that we limit what God can do. We see ourselves, but we don't see what he can do.
Absolutely.
And so therefore, okay, well, maybe I'll be in the background here doing such and such. And right away, we took all that he had in store for us.
Absolutely.
And we limited how far he wanted to take us. And there's a little bit of fear. There's a little bit of insecurity, whatever it is, you know.
Amen, brother. Because I'm going to say, you know, the Word of God tells us in the last days, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." See, are you going after those things? Are you going big? That would be what we'd say, "Hey, God, you've got a promise here." In looking at a promise, it says that we'll either dream dreams or see visions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at a promise.
Right.
So, Lord, I want to go big. What are you saying? Now, I don't go what my imagination goes by. I want to go what your imagination goes.
Right.
I want to know what you say,
and then
allow me. I was the Lord had said, "I'm going to give you a house." I'm thinking a home. I'm thinking a little 4 or 5 bedroom house sitting on my property. God's going to give me a house. He wasn't talking about that.
No.
He was talking about this building here, the Green Valley Lanes building. I wasn't going big. And now, since that, I've learned I've got to go big.
Yeah.
God, I've got to go by what you're showing me. Show me, God.
Right.
Give me these things.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, man.
Amen. Good words.
Open these up, man.
So, sorry to us for worship. We're going big.
Going big.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's nothing after that, you know. It's not go big, go home. It's just go big.
Go big.
Yeah, because we're not going to fail. We're just going to
go big or go home.
Go bigger.
Just going
to
do it.
When I'm looking at French fries, I try to go big. My mom says, "No way. No, you ain't going big."
It's
already too big.
You're already too big.
That's what my wife tells me anyway. French fries for John,
man. I mean, really, what with God, all things are what
possible.
What's impossible for men is what?
possible.
Possible for God. I mean, and we're almost limiting Him because we won't expect anything from Him.
Yeah.
So build your expectations.
I can do this, God. I can do this.
Oh yeah.
And He'll say, "Okay, go ahead and do it." But I had so much more for you,
man. Come on.
That's exactly right. He's not going to reject what you agreed to. You know, but he's you're just not getting all He's got.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
That's
I know I felt like that sometimes. You know, it's like, I can do this. But then you know, it's like, well, what does God want me to do, you know? Because it could be so much greater. Because, you know, I remember when Pastor Henry came to me and he was talking to me about doing the announcements. And I was like, okay. And, you know, for me, it's kind of weird since I'm talking on a podcast right now. But I actually feel like, you know, there's a lot of times where I don't speak very well, you know? Like I feel like it's something where, you know, I'm not able to do that, but I'm start doing that right now. But but what, you know, when I know that God is going to help me, and I know when He's empowering me, I know that that's not going to be an issue. So, you know, when He asks me, I'm like, okay, God, is that what you want me to do? Yeah, okay, then I do it. And you know, it's everything builds up to something. And you know, after that, I was, you know, talking at a men's breakfast one time, and then after that, you know, I gave a short sermon on Easter, and then, you know, I've given full sermons and stuff, and you know, it never would have happened if I would have just thought, I'm not able to do that. That's not me.
Yeah.
You know, it instead is like, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? Because I know if I do it, I'm not going to fail.
That's right. He's going to be there with you.
And I believe that's something that we should all know when we look at the gifts that God has for us, spiritual gifts. You think about, you know, you're talking about speaking or preaching, whatever it is. Well, like everything else, you know, anything that you do, first time you ever do it, it's not quite as good as it will be because you've never done it. And so God's going to work through you and speak through you and do those things, whether it be praying for healing, whether it be preaching, whether it be prophesying, whatever it is that we are supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. When you first start, it's hard for somebody to get up there and prophesy, mm-hmm. or to say, well, I heard a word from God, and yet you don't get up there and do it, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you start conditioning yourself and start saying, you know, I may sound a little bit silly, but here it goes, you know? And the more you do it, I mean, I found that with my prayer ministry. When I first started, I didn't know how to pray, you know? And not, I guess I still don't. No, but I've gotten to where I'm just going to do what God's leading me to do, and I'm not going to hold back. And once upon a time, I kind of did. You know what I mean? Should I? Should I not? You know? Now somebody says, "You want to pray? I'll do it." You know? So
come on, man. You know, there's a. Abe, I got a word for you while you were speaking. The Lord gave me something for you. But there's something about the willing and obedient to these things that are going within you. And you know, I don't know if you guys are the same way, that sometimes when somebody's preaching, I'll hear a scripture and it's almost like I want to put my hand up and say, "Hey man, how about this scripture, man?" You know. And what I used to love about teaching adult Sunday school, where I used to, one of the churches I used to teach at, I would tell them, if you get a scripture, man, it's one in you, man. I know people do that.
Yeah.
I know that God does that. Yeah. I said, just raise your hand and say it, man. You know, and so, and I really do believe it develops them to release that, what God is speaking in that.
Yeah.
Right? But I just got to give you this word, man. And I think it's a good place to give it. I mean, it's on the podcast.
Yeah.
But when you began to speak, I remember your face when I looked at you, man. And it was almost like me, you know, and it was kind of, but then you were willing, and then you were obedient. But this is what the Lord gave me right just now, man, when you were talking. It says, this is, and I'll show it to you later, but this is what He says, "I have put my words in your mouth." You hear that?
Yeah.
I have put my words in your mouth, and I've covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I might plant the heavens and the earth and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. Abe, God's got an anointing on you to speak. There is there, and maybe, and not only you, but maybe there's some other young men that are out there, and young ladies and young women, that God has, like he says, he's put his words in your mouth so that you might plant the heavens and the and lay the foundations of the earth. See, it's funny, the foundations are out of they're out of shape right now, you know, because of what sin has done all the years. But God is bringing the restoration, and he's going to bring it through the mouths of his servants.
Amen.
So take that. That's Isaiah 51:16. Okay, I'll give it to you a little bit later too, man. But that's
what, you know, Abe, that's so true. But you know what? You're an overcomer, and I can tell you right now, one of the things that you have overcome, and that is timidity. You know, you now it's becoming a just a way of mode of operation for you to be able to do that. Yeah. What a blessing that is.
Yeah.
But it took a step.
Yeah,
and it was not a confident step, I imagine, for the first couple of times. But it, as you practice, as you were put in such a position, it became something that I like doing this.
Yeah.
I enjoy this. And the Lord will honor that obedience.
Yeah. One thing that I kind of told myself for the first time I got up there and I spoke was, you know, who am I doing this for? You know, is it, am I trying to please God, or am I trying to please man?
That's right.
And, you know, if, as long as God's happy with it, I know that, you know, it doesn't matter what other people think. So, I don't know, I kind of feel like invincible up there, you know, like, you know, as long as I'm saying what God's saying, it doesn't matter what other people are thinking. I mean, now if I go astray of that, well, then yeah, there's going to be some problems. But you know, as long as I'm doing what God's called me to do, and I'm saying what God's called me to say, then you know I'm going to be okay, and I shouldn't really worry so much about what people are thinking.
Absolutely.
And I think maybe that's, you know, kind of like a something that's like hindering a lot of people and in doing things, like you're saying, you know, praying for people. You know, it's like, you know, I used to have a kind of thing where I was like, well, you know, I've heard my mom pray before, and I'm like, you know, wow, now that's a prayer. But then, you know, like when I like, you know, think about, you know, how it sounds when I pray, I'm like, well, I don't know if that sounds as good. And then, you know, that's not true. It's like, you know, we say exactly what we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And we are who we're supposed to be as long as we're following what God has put before us. And it doesn't matter what people think.
That's right.
And even of ourselves, you know, if we think, you know, oh, well, that sounded dumb or something like that, we shouldn't think that. Because if God's behind it, it's exactly what needs to be said.
That's right.
We're doing exactly what we need to do.
Amen.
We shouldn't be afraid of anything.
There's a scripture that I love that says, who are you to judge another man's servant?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to look it up. It's in Corinthians, but who are you to judge another man's servant? And that includes yourself.
Yeah.
You are the servant of the Lord. A lot of times we get these ideas that wasn't good or that wasn't.
Yeah.
How do you know? You better knock it out. Quit talking to yourself like that and allow the Holy Spirit to take you and lead you and guide you and do what he wants to do with you, man. So, so.
Well, it's also like being part of the body. It's like, you know, there's no part that's greater than the other. And because, like, we all have a certain function in order to achieve, you know, the goals God's put before us.
Amen.
And it's not going to happen if, you know, that one little piece is out of place.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody's just as important as the other.
That's
it. Somebody
stretch out the tent. Go big.
Go big.
Come on, man.
Go big.
I like that.
Go big.
I think that was good. I think that was a real good word from God there.
Go big.
Yeah. Stop restricting what he wants to do. Stop limiting, you know? He's a creator. He's the anything that we can see or touch. And yet we're going, okay, that's good enough. And he's going, oh, man, if you would have only waited and waited what else I had for you. So
I remember Brother Jimmy Swaggart. He's had a bicycle, and he's asking God for a car. And he's telling the Lord, he says, well, God, if you don't want me to have a car, it's okay. I'll ride my bike, God. And his grandmother smacked him upside the head and he said, God, he is a big God asking for a car. And I loved it. That's so God, I mean, I think he really likes when we go big.
Yeah, when we stretch out.
Expects big things from him. I believe he loves it.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody like to close in prayer?
Somebody asked me, I'll do it.
Did Johnny? Johnny, close in prayer.
Father God, we just, we thank you, Lord, for laughter. We thank you, Lord, for just your presence, Lord, yes, that regardless of what we talk about, Lord, that it's always about you.
Yes.
Lord, whatever the words that come forth from our mouth are to glorify you. And we thank you, Lord, for this time. And we ask, Lord, that as those that are listening to this podcast, Lord, that they would be blessed, that they would be, that they would grow through this time, Lord.
Thank you.
And Lord, that they would reach out to you, Lord, and not settle for little, Lord. That, as we just said, that they would go big, Lord. You are you are a big God.
Yes.
You love to give, Lord.
Yes.
You give, Lord. You gave your son to die on the cross for us, Lord. How much more could we ask of you, Lord?
Thank you.
And so, Lord, we bless this time. We bless who you are, Lord. And we bless all those that have set their ears, Lord, and their hearts to listen to this podcast today. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. And we thank for the ability. We thank God for the ability to edit.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hello and...
Goodbye.
There we go. Goodbye.
Hello.
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 Hello. Does anybody know a song?
Hello. Goodbye.
Say hello.
Very nice, Abe.
Love it, man. Where to start, man?
Don't edit this part, huh?
Everybody quiet. I was waiting for quiet. I will send you out of the room.
It's not me. It's Pastor John.
It's a troublemaker.